The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello! This is Cindy Fowler from the Triangle Radio's Reading Service. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from Hints and Things website, Dave's Garden website, and the HGTV's Garden website, and maybe from Jerry Baker's terrific Garden Tonics. We'll start with the Hints and Things website. More garden-related tips. If gardening is your thing, here are some very useful tips and hints to save you time and or money. A good way to get rid of aphids / greenfly is to soak crushed garlic in warm water. Leave for about 6 hours or more and then strain. Put the strained liquid into a spray bottle and use to spray affected plants. To tie back large plants without damaging them, thread the string through a piece of old garden hose so that the hose is against the plant and not the string. Bamboo canes used for staking tomato plants, etc., are sometimes prone to splitting at the ends and don't always last that long. Take a trip to your local snooker / pool hall, social club, etc., and ask them if they have any disused cues. With a bit of luck, you'll get them for free and find them stronger. They are solid and also coated with a varnish which prevents them from absorbing water. I've been using a set of 15 for a few years now, and they are still in good condition. 1 year, I ran out of plant labels, but I had an old Venetian blind, and I cut the strips up into the sizes I wanted and took the scissors to make a point so it would stick in the ground. When taking cuttings, use one of the cheap plastic beakers, which you can buy 25 at a time in whatever size you want. Fill it with vermicelli, dip cuttings in rooting powder, and put several in the beaker. Water in, but only until the water reaches halfway, and leave in a warm place. This method enables you to see if cuttings have rooted, and you do not need to tug them to check. When taking cuttings, use one of the cheap plastic beakers you can buy 25 at a time in whatever size you want. Fill it with vermicelli, dip cuttings in rooting powder, and put several in the beaker. And that was just to remind you again what to do. A small length of hose pipe wound between plants helps keep off cats and birds, as they don't like snakes. To age new garden statues, smear with natural yogurt. Algae will quickly cover the item, making it look older. To water hanging baskets slowly and gently. Place a handful of ice cubes in the center of the basket overnight. The cubes will thaw slowly and water the plants. If you have problems with moles in the garden, find the run and place a small piece of gorse in the bottom. The prickles on the gorse will stop them returning. Banana skins placed around rose bushes will rot down and provide nutrients. And from Dave's Garden, Hydroponic Indoor Gardening for Beginners by Shannon McKee. Winter doesn't have to be a bare time of year for gardeners. Hydroponics can be a way to garden all year long. Many gardeners fall into a rut during cold months, wishing they could be outside. To beat off the green itch, you might usually pore over the seed catalogs that make their way to your mailbox or draw a new garden plan, thinking about how you rotate your crops or what new things you're going to grow next spring. One thing you could be exploring instead is indoor hydroponic gardening. This beginner article will give you basic information on how to get started growing your favorite veggies, greens, or even flowers indoors any time of year. Since hydroponic systems come in a variety of sizes, ranging from large enough to take up a whole room to small enough to rest on your tabletop, you can grow pretty much anything you want. Smaller systems do well with growing fresh lettuce and spinach to use year-round, and you'll be able to harvest as they grow. Some of the smaller systems can even grow a few of the larger crops, like tomatoes or peppers, but you may only be able to have one or two plants at a time. There are several basic components needed to set up an indoor hydroponic garden. You'll need a deep enough container to hold the water and the nutrients for your plants. An air pump will also be necessary to help oxygenate the water, as well as something that can suspend your plants over the container. Since many plants need at least partial sun to grow, it should come as no surprise you'll need a lighting component of some sort, too. Finally, you'll need the plants. You can either start them as seeds or seedlings, but starting seeds can be your best bets, as you don't have to worry about disrupting the roots to try to transfer them into your hydroponic system. There's a good chance your regular home improvement store will not carry specific equipment for an indoor hydroponic garden, or if they do, they may have a small selection. See if there's a local hydroponic store in your area that you can go to instead. This can be a great place for beginners to start their foray into the realm of hydroponic growing. This type of store is going to have a nice variety of equipment for different sized setups that fit a range of budgets. The sales staff typically will have their own setups at home and be knowledgeable about the products they sell as well. There are a few benefits to buying local, too. Besides keeping money in your community, you'll get to be more hands-on with making your decisions about what you'd like to purchase. You won't have to worry about shipping, and you'll get the instant gratification of being able to go right home and set up your new system. If there are no stores that carry what you want in your area, look around for any websites that carry kits instead. Shopping online allows you to comparison shop to find the best price and see reviews of each system to find which one will give you the best product for the price. If you're the type of person that gets flustered around experts when learning a new skill, online shopping can take the edge away. There is one commercially available hydroponic gardening system you can find in a wide variety of stores called the Aero Garden, A-E-R-O Garden. This kit comes with just about everything you'll need to start growing right out of the box and takes most of the guesswork out of the growing indoors with a hydroponic system. It is self-contained as well. You just need to put a few things together, add water, and plug it in. This is an exceptional option for someone new to hydroponic gardening or a gardener who just wants to grow a small crop without expanding. Not all such kits are all-inclusive, however. Other similar gardening systems like Emily's Garden Hydroponic and the Mega Garden Hydroponic System do not provide a lighting source, which, depending on your natural lighting in the winter months, can be a necessity. The key to evaluating a hydroponic kit is to read over the included items to make sure that you will have everything that you actually need and nothing that you do not. Hydroponic indoor gardening is a great way to chase away your winter blues, and you get a chance to take up a new hobby that will keep you busy and provide produce to harvest during every season. As you begin to get more comfortable with hydroponic gardening, you can branch out into larger systems or even try your hand at aquaponics, which uses fish to provide the necessary nutrients for your plants. And from Dave's garden website, Herbal History, Oregano by Melody Rose. Our common garden herbs have a rich and interesting history. Herbs have been a part of human existence for thousands of years, and even in the dawn of prehistory, there is evidence of humans using plants for medicine and religious rites. The cave plant paintings of Lascaux, L-A-S-C-A-U-X, France, which are most famous for the fantastic animals, have botanical images depicted on the walls along with the creatures. Herbs are buried with the Egyptian pharaohs, Sumerian kings, Chinese emperors, and the druids of the British Isles. We'll learn a bit about the lore and traditions surrounding these plants along with some tasty uses in this series of articles. I find botanical history fascinating and hope you enjoy this trip back in time. Oregano is one of the herbs that have both spiritual and culinary uses, and early peoples of the Mediterranean relied it extensively. This member of the mint family is associated with good tidings and joy. Surprisingly enough, it was a popular herb at both weddings and funerals. The couple to be married was crowned with wreaths or garlands of oregano to ensure long years of love and happiness, while the graves were planted with the herb to help the deceased find peace and tranquility in the next life. It was also a popular ingredient in love potions, and the flowers make a reddish-tinted dye for wool and linen. The essential oils in oregano contain some surprising medicinal properties as well. It is antibacterial, antifungal, and contains antihistamines. It is also a powerful antioxidant, and tests conclude a tablespoon of fresh oregano is as powerful as an apple in controlling free radicals. Tests are also underway that show it could also contain a powerful antibiotic. Nutritionally, oregano is a significant source of vitamin C and E, magnesium, calcium, and iron. The crushed leaves will also soothe insect bites, rashes, cuts, and scrapes. No wonder our ancestors held it in such high regard and made it a part of their herbal pharmacy. There are a number of oregano species. However, the most intense flavor comes from the Greek. Oregano vulgaris, S-U-B-S-B, hurtum. The crushed leaves have a strong scent, and when tasted, it almost numbs the tongue. That's the variety I keep in my garden. Give it space to grow, because like most mints and their relatives, it spreads quickly. Mine has similar habits to its mint cousins, spreading willfully by underground runners. I keep it in check by surrounding it with a concrete sidewalk on two sides. Some gardeners even keep it in containers. Just remember, it likes sunny conditions and hates wet feet. Here in West Kentucky, it is perennial and even remains green throughout most of the winter. Many people only associate oregano with its traditional use in acid-based foods, such as spaghetti sauce and pizza. However, it can make a great flavor statement when roasting chicken, with burgers, and in rustic breads. Harvest oregano just before it blooms. The flavor is most intense then. After it blooms, the leaves become bitter and tough, so young leaves are preferred for any culinary use. You can dry the leaves, or chop them and freeze them in olive oil, which is my favorite method. Or you can add the leaves on stems to vinegars and oils to liven them up a bit, too. When cooking with oregano, add it in the last 10 minutes of cooking for the best flavor. Extended cooking time and high temperatures degrade the essential oils and hurt the taste. To freeze oregano in olive oil, chop clean, dry leaves and unopened flower beds, but not the tough stems. Add them to the oil, mix well, and freeze in a flat container or right in a freezer bag. Break off whatever you need when it is time to cook and return the rest to the freezer. If oregano is frozen without oil, the leaves turn dark and unsightly. I always leave a section of my oregano bed unharvested and allow it to bloom for the bees. Oregano blooms are irresistible to honeybees, and they cover my plants seeking the nectar all summer. Many other species of insects and butterflies find it tasty as well, and my little clump literally hums with all the insect activity. It is a great way to attract pollinators to your garden. This is an excellent plant for new gardeners since it is hardy, tough, and forgiving. Just remember, it can be aggressive as it spreads, so give it plenty of room or keep it in a container. It makes an excellent addition to a cottage garden, or if kept pruned, an old-fashioned herbal knot garden. Herbal lore is fascinating, and it is often surprising about how accurate or absurd the old traditions and uses were. It gives us a peek into the past and sometimes a better understanding of our ancestors. And now from HGTV's Gardens e-newsletter, ground covers that give lift to your landscape, Marie Hoffer. If you crave a bit of dimension, perspective, height, and extra color in your ground covers, consider widespreading shrubs. rosy hedges. Why not take advantage of azalea's spread and cover a shady slope with them? While some of us have, at least on paper, crossed out the big old-timey shrubs in favor of their new diminutive forms, we may have also forgotten how valuable some of these bulky plants can be. Japanese Caria, Caria japonica, produces its bright yellow flower clusters in mid-spring. Most species grow 3 to 6 feet high and a little wider, and it will tolerate any soil as long as it's well-drained. Broadening a juniper's reach. Junipers come in a wide range of heights, including the ground-hugging forms that are ubiquitous throughout residential and commercial landscapes. Junipers are adaptive to a range of soils and do best in full sun, but also do tolerably well with only a half day of sun. If you need to cover ground, there's a wealth of plant choices at your fingertips. Juniper, vinca, creeping phlox, plumbago, carpet bugle, and pachysandra all do their part to discourage weeds and reduce the amount of turf grass that needs to be mowed and maintained. As great as ground huggers are, their low-growing and flat can be boring if no vertical elements are present. Wide-spreading shrubs. So if you crave a bit of dimension, perspective, height, and extra color in your landscape, consider going up while going out. Azaleas are good covers of ground, spreading wider than they are tall as they mature. Gardeners find it easy to underestimate the eventual girth of a one-gallon plant, and sometimes wind up wanting to whack them back. Spring tassels. In spring, the arcing branches of drooping leucothoe offer creamy panicles above evergreen foliage, great for covering a shady bank. Leucothoe fontanesiana averages 3 to 6 feet tall and wide. Look for Gerard's Rainbow, whose new growth is mottled copper, pink, white, and green. Leucothoe needs moist, acid, well-drained soil. It does not tolerate drought. Coastal Leucothoe grows 2 to 4 feet high and 3 to 6 feet wide. Ground cover roses are generally considered roses whose spread is greater than their height, while averaging 3.5 feet high and 3 feet wide. The Knockout Series, sensational continuous bloom during the growing season, dense foliage, a great habit, and low maintenance make this a great plant for colorful hedging and masses. They self-clean, so deadheading isn't necessary. Shady Scents. At 1.5 to 2 feet high and 4 to 5 feet wide, Sweet Box makes a wonderful ground cover for shade. Its evergreen foliage looks great all year, and in spring, tiny flowers give the plant a heady fragrance. Treat this plant as you would an azalea or rhododendron. Give it moist, well-drained organic soil. If the area you want to cover has a mixture of sun and shade, one of the cherry laurels might be the answer. Odolucan tolerates both full sun and full shade, forming a dense shrub, 3 to 4 feet tall and twice as wide. Leaves are evergreen and 4 inches long. For steep banks and other areas too difficult to navigate or maintain, winter jasmine is a good solution. This deciduous plant splays its long branches in all directions, rooting as they go and forming new plants. It produces small, bright yellow flowers sporadically during the winter months, reaching a crescendo of flowering in February, 3 to 4 feet high and twice or more as wide. It's relatively fast at colonizing an area. In fact, you might have trouble getting rid of it if you ever have second thoughts about how to landscape that spot. And now from Jerry Baker's Terrific Garden Tonics. Here's an all-season cleanup tonic. This is one tonic you absolutely need to use religiously throughout the growing season. The shampoo cleans the plants and helps the other ingredients stick better. The mouthwash kills bad bacteria and discourages insects. And the tobacco tea contains nicotine, which does a double whammy on those pesky pests. The ingredients? 1 cup of baby shampoo, 1 cup of antiseptic mouthwash, and 1 cup of tobacco tea. To make tobacco tea, place half a handful of chewing tobacco in an old nylon stocking and soak it in a gallon of hot water until the mixture is dark brown. Now, here are the instructions. Mix these ingredients in a 20-gallon hose-end sprayer and give everything in your yard a good shower in the early evening every 2 weeks throughout the growing season. You'll have the healthiest vines and ground covers in town. And an herbal renewal. Sure, everyone loves herbs in their gardens, but here's a way to surprise your visitors. Plant herbs as ground covers. Cat mints, lavenders, oregano, and thymes are all tough, no-nonsense plants that can cover the ground with ease. Just give them full sun and well-drained soil, then sit back and enjoy. And here's some terrific time savers. Want to transform a barren slope into a great-looking ground cover planting? Try this compost-as-you-go trick. In spring, mark off a strip across a slope that's about 3 feet wide by 4 or 5 feet long. Lightly loosen the soil, then spread leaves, grass clippings, manure, and some topsoil there too. Add your kitchen scraps and garden trimmings all summer long and dig them in. The following spring, plant ground covers in the strip of compost, then start a new strip above or below it. In just a few seasons, you can transform an entire slope, one strip at a time. And this idea stinks. To rid your ground covers of moles, open up their tunnels in different locations and drop in freshly cut up garlic bulbs. Then cover up the holes you've made. The moles will take one whiff and run in the opposite direction. And making sense. There are two smart shopping strategies when it comes to buying ground covers. One option is to buy a bunch of small potted plants or a tray of rooted cuttings. These tend to be pretty cheap, but the small plants will take a while to fill in. Your other option is to look for midsummer or fall sales, then buy pots of overgrown ground covers at bargain basement prices. Divide the crowded clumps when you get home, and you'll have lots of good-sized starts for just a few bucks. And an all-season green-up tonic. If your vines and ground covers are looking a bit peaked, give them a taste of this sweet snack. It's rich in nutrients and packed with energizers, too. Just what your plants need to look and grow their very best. They'll green up in a jiffy. The ingredients: 1 can of beer, 1 cup of ammonia, 1/2 cup of dishwashing liquid, 1/2 cup of liquid lawn food. That's lawn, L-A-W-N, food. And 1/2 cup of molasses or clear corn syrup. The instructions? Mix these ingredients in a large bucket. Pour into a 20-gallon hose-in sprayer and spray everything in sight, not just your vines and ground covers, but also your trees, shrubs, lawn, flowers, and even vegetables. Apply this tonic every 3 weeks, right up through the first hard frost, and your plants will survive the hot summer months with flying colors. And a compost feeder tonic. It's normal for tree leaves, sticks, wood chips, and sawdust to take several months to decompose. But you can speed things along by mixing a little high nitrogen fertilizer into your heap. Microorganisms that have been waiting for a good supply of nitrogen will get busy, and you should have finished compost in only a few weeks. In the meantime, don't forget to keep your whole pile energized. My compost feeder tonic works wonders. And the ingredients for it? 1 can of beer, 1 cup of dishwashing liquid, and 1 can of regular cola, not diet. The instructions? Mix these ingredients in a bucket. Pour into a 20-gallon hose-in sprayer and apply generously to your compost pile once a month to keep things cooking. And from Ask Jerry, I took your advice and started a compost pile, but how do I know when it's ready to use? Answer, when the compost is done or finished, it becomes dark and crumbly. When a batch nears this point, start a new one and dole the good stuff out to all of your plants in generous servings. Compost is not fertilizer, but it is very rich in enzymes and beneficial bacteria, and it's a first-class banquet of trace nutrients that plants need. That's why I call it black gold. And another terrific time savers. Are caterpillars chomping on your trees and shrubs? Enlist some real professional help in the form of chickadees and tufted titmice, 2 small songbirds that gobble up caterpillars and their eggs like nobody's business. To place a help wanted ad, simply stock a feeder with peanut butter, sunflower seeds, or thistle, and station it close to infested trees and shrubs. The winged warriors will beat a path to your buffet and hang around to polish off the pests. We've run out of time for today's episode of Out in the Garden. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you enjoyed it. I'm Cindy Fowler, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, triangleReadingService.org. So long until next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138.